Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I am delighted to be here again. And I want to read to you the first 16 verses of Hebrews 11. Verses 1 through 16 of Hebrews chapter 11. This is the word of the Lord. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death, and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And so far, the reading of God's blessed word. So this Bible is one book, but there's 66 books in it. So what holds it all together? I mean, in some sense, it's a book of history, but what's the story of history? What theme would you say would tie this whole book together? Well, there was various suggestions that have been made, and I think they're really good ones, that would say, this is the battle between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Or you would say, okay, well, the Son of God came down to choose a bride for himself. Or you could say, slay the dragon and save the girl. Or the one that I would like to choose for this morning, and it's the story of two cities. Two cities, the city of man and the city of God. Now, in the ancient Near East, cities played an important role. the Greek Empire had as its capital the city of Athens, and their influence extended far and wide. The Greek language was spoken from Spain to India. The Roman Empire was centered in the city of Rome, not in Italy, but in a city that was the center of the Roman Empire. And even today we would say, okay, New York is the center of finance, Paris is the center of fashion, and I would say San Francisco is the center of sin. But all right. The Bible, in a certain sense, is a history of the world, and in many ways it centers on two cities. In the final chapters of Revelation, which is the end of all things, impermanent, there are two cities, Babylon and Jerusalem. Babylon is that scarlet whore, and she will be destroyed. But the city of God, the New Jerusalem, will come out of heaven adorned as a bride for her bridegroom. And so that's the way the city or the history ends of this world. Babylon will sink beneath the waves and never to appear again. But Jerusalem, that glorious city of God, will come out of heaven. So that's the final seed, the final scene of this world. And the Old Testament and the New Testament are the unfolding towards that final scene. So in both Testaments, you'll find the city of man and the city of God. So I would like to talk to you about the beginnings of this city of man and the city of God. I would like to talk to you about the grace that God extended to these cities, and I would also like to talk about the call of God that addresses you as the Church of Jesus Christ. The first city after the fall was built by Cain. In Genesis 4, verse 17, we read this, "And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch, and he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch." So that first city was built by Cain, who had on his hands the blood of his brother Abel, whom he killed. That city was also the city that he sought to find permanence, because God had condemned him to be a wanderer and a vagabond on the earth. The line of Cain also produced Jabal, Jubal, and Tubal-Cain. Jabal was fond and developed animal husbandry. Jubal developed the fine arts. He played musical instruments, and Tubal-Cain developed technology. You might say he was a craftsman in bronze and iron. So the city of man was advanced in some ways. They had farming. They had cattle. They had the fine arts, music, and they had technology and science as well. But you know, it didn't stop their destruction, because one of the descendants of Cain, his name is Lamech, and you know, he messed up family life because he wasn't satisfied that he had one wife and the two shall be one flesh, but he would have two wives, and they three would be one flesh. That doesn't make sense. But he destroyed family life. And he also, he also boasted to his wives that he killed a man for wounding him. So that was the beginning of the violence of the city of man, until the point reached where God says, I'm going to destroy this earth because it is all filled with violence. All filled with violence. So this God said then, the end of all flesh has come before me. So these words of God that signaled the end of the city of man was also the beginning of a city of God. This was a strange type of city because it was a floating city. It was the ark that God instructed Noah to build. So God set that city afloat. The rains came down for 40 days and 40 nights. The great fountains of the deep were broken up and gushed out their waters. And so those waters destroyed the city of man. It wiped them totally out. But the waters that buried the city of man became the foundation for the city of God, because the ark was carried upon the waters. And so, says the Apostle Peter, 8 souls were saved through water. Well, those 8 souls came down and they inherited a new earth, and the Lord said to them, multiply and increase. And so they multiplied and increased. And he said, you should spread throughout the entire world. And they didn't. They gathered together on the plains of Shinar, and they said, oh, well, we're not going to obey God. We're going to build our own city. So there between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, they began the great civilization of Mesopotamia. So they said, and from Genesis 11, verse 4, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. Let us be scattered throughout the entire world. So they didn't ask God to build them a city, as Abraham did, as he looked for. They didn't ask they rejected the friendship of God that came from heaven, and they wanted to build, to reach heaven by themselves. They were the friends of Satan, who wanted to ascend the throne of God. This city of man, this first, I don't know, what do you call it, United Nations, or the first world government, God brought to failure and confusion. So therefore, says Genesis 11, verse 9, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad throughout the face of the earth. So this is a city of frustration and failure. This is a city of confusion. This is a city which Revelation would say the number of man is 666. Now, you know, two-thirds extends infinitely with the number 666. The number 666 is a number of almost and yet not. Almost completed and yet failed. Almost arrived and yet didn't arrive. Almost delivering ourselves and yet not quite. It never reaches 7, the number of rest, the number of completion, the number that God said when he completed the world, creating the world, he looked at it and said, oh, it's very good. And so he could rest in the completion of his work. But man cannot rest in the completion of his work, because he's doomed to failure. Because man doesn't, he wants to build his own city. He wants to build his own architecture. He wants to build his own deliverance. And it will always fail. So out of the ruins of that city, the city of Babel, God took a man to build the city of God. So he took our father Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees in the middle of that civilization over there, and he said, get out of your father's house and go to a land that I will show you. So he took the trip up the Euphrates and down through Aram and into the land of promise. God called Abraham to leave the ruins of the city of man, and God would build Abraham a city. God would make Abraham into a city. God would eventually take the seed of Abraham and make that seed the very foundation, the very cornerstone of the great and wonderful city of God. So Abraham left and went that long journey to Canaan. You know, he was for 25 years, he was childless and landless. The only property he brought was a burial plot for his wife, Sarah, eventually. But he was looking for a city. He wanted the city of God, and he was traveling towards it. Hebrews tells us that by faith he dwelt in the land of promises in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So Abraham died by faith, in faith, okay? And so Hebrews 11:14 says, those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland, but now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So as Abraham, as a pilgrim, walked through the land of Canaan, he saw something beautiful. He saw something so rare. He saw something that made his heart leap for joy, because he saw a cornerstone, and he saw in that cornerstone the whole beautiful city of God laid out in perfection. And you know what he saw? He saw Jesus Christ. In John 8:56, Jesus said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So we've seen two cities of man, the city of Canaan, which was destroyed by the flood. We've seen the city of Babel, which was destroyed by God through confusion of language. And we need to see another city, and that's the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abram had come to Canaan with his nephew Lot, and they had such enormous flocks and herds that the herdsmen of Lot were arguing and quibbling about the pasture for their flocks. So Abraham says to Lot, you know, you can choose whatever you want, okay? Whatever land you want to choose, I'll get out of there, and you can have residence there. So he chose the plains that were near, the valleys that were near the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And eventually, of course, he ended up living in that city. Now, at one time, there were five kings that were confederate together, and they fought against Sodom and Gomorrah, and they took the entire city captive, plundered their goods, and went off somewhere else. So Abraham got together some of his servants, and they chased them. And they won the battle, and they delivered all of the goods and of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, including, of course, Lot's, his nephew Lot. And then, were they thankful for that deliverance? Were they thankful for the grace of God that was extended to them? No. No. Did they show their thankfulness by repenting from their evil deeds and the filthiness of their lifestyle? They did not. They did not. So God determined that he would destroy those cities by fire. And so he sent two angels to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But on the way, God stopped at the tent of Abraham. Abraham was 99 years old and his wife Sarah was 90. It was past her age of bearing children, and Hebrews tells us that Abraham's body was basically dead. He couldn't bring life anymore at all. But you know, from that dead body, God would bring life. On the way to judgment, God is stopping by the seed of Abraham, and he's going to, okay, I am going to build a new city, and from your seed. Abraham says, from my seed? Yes, said God, from your seed, from your seed. So, Abraham, remembering that God in Genesis 12 had said, you will be a blessing to all peoples. And so our noble father Abraham, he pled for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Of course, finally he said, yeah, God recognized that there were not even 10 righteous in that city. So he sent the angels and charged with this mission of fire and brimstone. And they went into the city of Sodom to rescue the family of Lot. And of course, the citizens of Sodom sealed their doom because they tried to molest, to try to put their perverse ways on the angels of mercy that came to them. So Lot believed their message, the news that the end of the city of man was near, but he didn't really want to leave. So the Genesis tells us that God had mercy on him and that the angels took them by the hand and said, okay, let's get out of this city. Let's get out of this city. God destroyed the city of man. But before that destruction, God planted the seed of a city of God. God brought life to the dead womb of Abraham's wife, Sarah, and she had a son, and his name was Isaac, and that means laughter. That means joy. And he became the great, 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 great grandfather of Jesus Christ, whom the angels came down and sang, joy to the world, the Lord has come. So this is the beginning of the story of the two cities, the city of man and the city of God. And before we leave, I would like you to see, and Lord would like you to see, the grace of the Lord and the call of the Lord. The grace of the Lord and the call of the Lord. So we need to go back to that first city, the city of Cain, the city of blood and violence, of covenant breaking, of messed up families and corruption. And on the outskirts of that city, there was a man working, he and his family. And as they were creating the ark and they would saw the planks, they set the planks down, and Noah would stand up on those planks and say, you know, people, this world is going to be destroyed by a flood. So you need to repent. And if you repent, there's room for you on this ark. Join the ark. Become citizens of this floating deliverance, this floating salvation. And for 120 years, the grace of God extended to these people. And they didn't listen.
They thought it was crazy. They thought, why would somebody build an ark on dry land? Until the day that the floods came. And then it was too late. Then it was too late. But this is the grace of God extending to a wicked and violent world, right? For 120 years, it was the day of grace.
The city of man, brothers and sisters, is all around us. All around us. And God has commanded his people to build an ark. And that ark is the church of Jesus Christ. In the days of Noah, says Peter, the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. 2 Peter 3, verses 6 and 7. So the ark today is a strange structure. It's as strange as building an ark in the days of Noah, where you think, this is crazy. Like, this doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any cultural impact. It doesn't make any architectural sense. It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. Of course, in the city of man basically dwells all the arts and sciences and all the technology and all the food. But on the ark, in that church, are citizens of the heavenly country, the city of God, saved by water. So the Lord, your God, calls you to stay with that ark, no matter what the world says. They think it's silly. They think the Church of Jesus Christ will never have an impact on civilization at all. But at the same time, to preach to the city of man, as Noah did, extending the grace of God until the great flood of fire descend out of heaven on the city of man. So we don't see a single Tower of Babel in the world today, but all around us, people are building the cities of man and the city of confusion and the city of man's failures. I mean, if you look any place in the world, I mean, how many presidents have sought to find a solution to the conflict in the Middle East? How many people have tried to find a solution to China or Korea or any conflict in the world today? I mean, the world keeps breaking up because they admit to defeat, despair. It will not work. It will not work. There is no In the days of Noah, they were building cities. And I suppose they built them out of bricks that were made out of mud. And those bricks will never stand the rain, the water of God's judgment. So God calls you today and all men to see that it is God himself who frustrates the plans of men, who brings them into confusion. It is God himself through Christ who brings all the salvation plans of man, the plans of man to unite the world into one economy or one network or one people. And their bricks are bricks of mud, and they will not stand the rains of judgment. So into that present-day Babylon, God sends his call of grace from Revelation 18, verse 18. Come out of her, my people, lest you partake of her sins and you partake of her plagues.
Out of that city, God calls you to follow the footsteps of your father, Abraham. He went out, and not knowing where he was going, but he was looking for that city whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 11 says, he could have turned back. He could have returned to the city of man. And you can too. You can too. Children, you can too. Young people, you can do it too. But God calls you to have the desire of Abraham, the desire for a better country. And so God was not ashamed to be called Abraham's God, and nor your God either, for he has prepared for you a city. And so just as God went to destroy Sodom, so God in Christ is on his way to destroy this Sodom and Gomorrah, the city of the plain whose sins have reached into heaven, and he's on his way. So on his way to God in Christ gives you the promise of life, the promise that you too will bring the call of grace to all the nations. On that mission of judgment, God stopped to give Abraham the promise of life, and he gave him the promise of life, knowing that Abraham would teach his household and his children afterward to keep the ways of the Lord, the ways of the city of God. And so God too, on his way to the judgment of this world, and who knows when it's going to come, we don't know, but he expects you too to teach your children to keep the ways of the Lord. And on the way of the angels, the messengers of God entered into the heart of the city, and he calls covenant wanderers. You know, Peter said, referring to Lot, that he knows how to deliver his children. The grace of God reaches out to the hands of his wandering children, children who have settled into the life of the city of man, and compels them to return. You know, brothers and sisters and boys and girls, every time the grace of God's message calls you to turn your back on sin, to follow the way of righteousness, he is calling you out of the city of man and to the city of God. Every time your mother tells you to stop what you're doing and do what's right, she's a messenger of God. She's an angel of God telling you to leave the city of man and come to the city of God. Every time, people of God, young people, the messenger of God, your parents, your teacher, your preacher, your elders, your mother, your father, every time they say, stop, don't go that way, because they're rescuing you from the city of man and bringing you back to the city of God. So we should hear those calls. We should pay attention to those calls, because it's the grace of God. It's the angel of God extending a hand to us. And we need to grip that hand. We need to take hold of that hand. We need to embrace the city of God with all our hearts. I know the world will laugh. They will laugh until they're doomed. This is the grace of the gospel. This is the call that Christ has commissioned his church to bring to the world. This is yet the day of grace. There's still opportunity to repent and believe. And I don't necessarily address that to you. I address the commission of the church is to proclaim the grace of God to a world that is doomed to destruction. The story of two cities. the city of man and the city of God. We've seen the beginning of that story, the story of Cain and his city, and the story of Noah and his idiotic city that yet survived, and it was salvation for the church, for his family. And of course, the church of Jesus Christ is the ark of today. And it's only in that church that you will find deliverance, that you'll find mercy, that you'll find salvation, that you'll find the grace of God today. Out of the ruins of those cities, out of the ashes of judgment, God brought his own city of God. Through faith and obedience, Noah built the floating city of the ark. Through faith and obedience of Abraham, God began a city to be populated not just by one man, but by a seed as numerous as the stars of heaven, drawn from every nation, from all the cities of man in the history of the world. That is the city of God in which God has placed you and me. And when all the cities of man have been forever reduced to ashes, you will see this new city descend out of heaven, beautiful, four square, gates of pearls, streets of gold, foundations of 12 precious stones, and you will hear the voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. For he has built for them a city." Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the glorious message of the gospel. We thank you, Father, that you have, through your messages and messengers, have rescued us from the city of man and placed us in the city of God. It's an anomaly in this world. It doesn't make sense sometimes even to us, but we know this is home. This is the place where God dwells. This is the grace of God that has been extended to us, and we want to extend that grace to our neighbors, to the entire world. So God, hear us, we pray. Gather your church from every land, from all the cities of man, that your elect may be complete and that your day might come when you purge this world of all the remnants of the city of man, and you yourself are all in all, and your city is glorious and will last forever and ever. Amen.